It's your time. Time to reconnect. Time to reconcile. Time for revival. And time for rebirth. You're tuned in to The Rebirth Experience with Pastor Anthony, pastor of Rebirth Church. Now, here's Pastor Anthony.
Hey, family, what's going on? Praise the Lord. It's the rush hour. It's the Rebirth Experience. You're here with Pastor Anthony. I'm so elated to get a chance to speak a word into your life. Check this out. Over the last year, we've had the opportunity just to speak into your life. And that has been a blessing that God has granted us. Today, unfortunately, is our last program. So we just want to say thank you to all our sponsors, supporters, prayer warriors. Thank you so much for pouring into this program and for listening to us. For a lot of you that have never had an opportunity to call in or basically just never had a chance just to say, hey, I listen to you. We still hear you in the realm of the spirit. Thank you so much for all that you are doing. Continue to lift us up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We really want God to continue to do his thing through the truth, through the means of the radio, and above all, through his glory and his kingdom. Amen. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to pay attention to our last program. This program is a little special in the sense, not just that it's the last program, but we took a couple of clips over the last year that we've had, and this is the product of it. These are the sermons that triggered people to call in, triggered people to pour in the phone calls, gave their life through Christ through these topics and sermons and discussions that we had over the year. Thank you so much once again for being a faithful listener. Thank you so much for being so gracious. I want to thank Alexis Kimball. Thank you so much for being such a supporter and such a great, great fan of ours. Above all, we just want to thank God for everything that he's done to Rebirth Church. Now, you know, even though we won't be on the air, you can check us out every Sunday, 10:30, Wednesday, 7 p.m. for our wonderful Wednesday Bible studies. Or you can check us out on Periscope or check us out on rebirthchurch.tv. Our website has been under construction for a little bit, but I'm sure if you keep looking, you'll see our updated system and everything that's going on there. Well, praise God. Let's go right into the segment of different sermons. And I pray that you be blessed, man. Once again, lift us up. This is what I want you to do. At any given point, you just want to say, man, thank you, Pastor, or thank you, Rebirth Church, for pouring into my life. 904-325-9647. That's 904-325-9647. Thank you so much. Signing out, Pastor Anthony. Much love and respect.
And again, and again, and again. Eventually, what's happening is that the enemy is hoping that the image that he keeps showing you again and again and again and again will get on the inside of you so that when you are trying to break free and live for Jesus, you can't see anything else but that image that you've been taking in again and again and again and again. Do you see what's happening? Even if you ever put water to drip on a rock, eventually if you leave that water dripping on the rock, even though it's a drip, the more it drips on it over and over and over again, eventually the rock begins to break because of the water dripping over and over and over again. That's what the devil's trying to do to all of us. He's trying to put an image over and over and over again. This is why we have believers that are saved, but they feel defeated. We have believers that are saved, but they're full of sickness. We have believers that are saved, but they're battling with sin. Why? Because they got this image that is not the image of God. But the Bible says, you were made fearfully and wonderfully. That was a shouty moment. My God, you guys got to wake up this morning. Do you see what I'm saying? No, that's all right. No, it's too late now. But you see what I'm trying to say? That God has put, there's an image already on the inside of you. There's an image on the inside of you. And his name is God. It's Jesus. It's Jehovah. There's an image on the inside. And the enemy is trying to sabotage and taint the image of God inside of you. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says like this. It says, then God said, let us make man in what? In our image. That's why when people see you, they should see Jesus. But they don't see Jesus. What they see is a counterfeit. What they see is a fabric that's not really God, because the enemy has been putting his image inside of you. And how do I know? You've been living the image that he put inside of you. So all we see, think about it, every day, whether it be, Jerry, what's the name of the program? Jerry Springer, thank you. There you go. We got somebody that watches it, right? So here, if you watch Jerry Springer, right? Jerry. Anyway, so if you ever watch this, all it does is promote, just by the visual, it promotes sex, addictions, right? Drugs, divorce, cheating, all this stuff, adultery, is constantly over and over again. Think about all the shows you watch. And for those of you that watch like these nice soap opera shows that you're hooked on them, think about what it's promoting on every time basis. Every time you allow it to get in your spirit, it's the enemy trying to put an image that is not God in your life, so that all you see is really the image of the enemy, not the image that God put in you from the beginning of time, which was the image of God. I have the image of God that needs to come out. But if the enemy is making deposits on the inside, you can never have that image come out of you, because you're tainted, you're sabotaged, and poisoned in the process. Because we as believers and we as humans, don't we have a lot of great justifications? We do, man. I got like a notepad back here. Great justifications. I mean, we know what to say to make ourselves feel better about our misery, but God never wanted you to be in misery. God never wanted you to be stuck in debt. God never wanted you to be stuck with sicknesses. God always, all he wanted for your life was for you to live free, for you to live happy. The Bible says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He did not mean that about heaven. He meant that about right here on earth. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be debt free. He wants you to be addiction free. He wants you to be doubt free, drug free, trauma free, doubt free. He wants you to be free. For who the Son says free is free indeed. But what happens is that the mortar, when the mortar set, it doesn't set immediately, just little by little, over time, it hardens. And brick goes on brick, 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 and more, here you are receiving and accepting ungodly, negative thoughts, things that contradict the word of God, and you have to be the type of person that puts up an argument with everything. I'm going to explain. Anybody know somebody that argues real good in your life? Anybody? I know, straight up. Right, baby? Is it straight up? I mean, just, no, I'm just saying right, like we know everybody. I'm not talking about her.
You're right.
So here it is. Check it out. You've got to put an argument. Now, I know some people that they argue when they're wrong. They have such a great skill of arguing. They make me wonder, man, maybe. Anybody ever been in an argument and you knew you were right, but in the middle of it, you're like, maybe I'm wrong. Wait, I don't. Anyway, that's somebody that's skillful. Somebody that's skillful. Man, Emily, what time is it? Praise God. I got to make sure we stay on point with time here. Amen. Oh, I got 7 minutes. Praise God. And so here is over the time, you've met somebody. Maybe they're so good. They should have been in the debate team. They can put up a good argument. The problem is when it comes to their own spiritual life, they put no argument. They just receive. See, the devil's going to tell you you're worthless. God doesn't forgive you. There was a time in my life that my stronghold was failure. I thought everything I did was a failure. It didn't matter how good it came out. It didn't matter how blessed people got when I preached, or how well I led, or when I did an event. Everything I thought was a failure, and I lived with that mentality, always living mediocre, always going beneath my potential, because I thought I could never achieve excellence. I thought I could never succeed because I have failure over my life. And instead of arguing that, instead of combating that, instead of fighting that, I received it. And for years, I walked and lived that way, always feeling like a failure. But you've got to put up an argument. And let me explain what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says like this. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. See, it still has ability to have value, worth. And yet, this is what happened to humanity. Because of disobedience, this is what happened. Now, does everybody hear that? That is the way you came into this world, broken in pieces. That's what sin does to all of us. It breaks every one of us. That's what sin will do to every single one of us. It breaks us. It hurts us. It separates us from God. That's what sin will do for you. Lying and fornication and cursing. All these things in the world, they will separate you from God. But yet the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity. Come on, somebody. He was wounded for our transgression. There's a Christ that took a beating for you. And it wasn't at the cost of a beating, but he was betrayed for you. You know the story. You saw the Ten Commandments yesterday. You know how it is. God is already speaking to us already. From way before, he's speaking to us and getting us to the place to it that we realize that, you know what? You did all of this. Why? Why? Why did you do all of this? Why did you sacrifice your life? Why did you do it for something that was broken? Something that has no worth. And that's why some of you don't even come to church. Because you feel like you're not worthy enough. You feel like you have too many issues to come to church. Let me tell you, the church is for the broken. The church is for the hurting. I'm telling you, Christ is attracted to brokenness. The Bible says like this. Jesus said, I did not come for the healed. I came for what? The sick. Usually, now in my household, there's one particular person in the household. Whenever somebody is a little sick, she's already spraying Lysol. She don't want to breathe where you breathe. See, that's the way it is. In our society, when you're sick, they send you to a hospital. They want to separate you from society. Are you with me? But Jesus says, bring the sick to me. He says, I came not for the righteous, but I came for the sinner. Man, that's good news, my God. In other words, I came for the broken. I came for the hurting. I came, and what I did to make it better, I went to the cross. And with every blood, every drip of blood that came down my head, with every lash they gave him, 40 lashes in his back, with every beating they give him, and with the mocking and the spitting and the cursing and yelling at him, he did it for you and I. He could have given up. Thank you, Jesus. But he didn't. He could have stopped somewhere along the line and said, you know what? They won't even appreciate this. They won't even appreciate what I have done for them. But he still goes to the cross, and the Bible says he gets up on the cross, and you know one of the phrases he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gets on the cross, and as he begins to speak, he gives up the ghost, his spirit. And when he goes and gives it up, the Bible says that he dies. And for 3 days, the earth was silent. And nothing moved. Because we were still broken in pieces. Nothing changes until the third day. Nothing moves until right now. You may be living a life that's completely broken. But Jesus Christ gets up Sunday morning on a beautiful day just like today. Gets up from that cave. The Bible says the angels removed the stone. And when he got up, what happened was that he appropriated what he did with the blood that he brought. The Bible says that he stood on earth for 40 more days. But when he went up to heaven, he presented the blood. He presented the marks. He presented the lashes. He presented the blood so that anybody that comes to Jesus, anybody that would come to Jesus, God would make them whole again. Now, let's be honest. Does it happen just like that? No. It takes piece by piece, stroke by stroke. Why? Because there's a God that loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay broken anymore. And I know some of you are like, well, I've always been like this. I had an abandoned father. I never had a father. I never had a mother. I never had. Hey, listen, whether you had it or not, whether you came into a poor society, a rich society, whatever it may be, we all came in broken. But will you let the master who took it to the cross and took his blood to the father, will you allow him to put you back piece by piece? Because that's what the blood of Jesus is there for. My God, that's what the blood of Jesus is there for. So that when you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I want to live forever with you. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. When you say that, what you do right there and then is that you allow the master to start putting you back piece by piece. Doesn't mean that I, as a pastor, don't have issues. No, wax my wife. I got issues. But I'm not where I used to be. See, I may not be where I want to be at, but at least I'm not where I used to be at, because he put me piece by piece. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I wonder if there's anybody in this place that really appreciates, because some of you don't seem that excited about this, but I wonder if there's somebody excited about how God started to put you back piece by piece. Piece by piece. Broken marriages, and yet he put you piece by piece. Been through some divorces, and he put you piece by piece. Hurting nobody to love you, and he put you piece by piece. Left you abandoned in the world, and yes, piece by piece. No one loved you like God does. No one loves you like God does. You've been in jail, and yet when you came out of jail, he put you piece by piece. You know, some of you should be dead right now. And the reason you're not dead right now is because he put you peace. Thank you, Jesus. See, if you ever stop to think about where God brought you from, can somebody take about 20 seconds to think about where God brought you from? He put you peace by peace. See, I know a lot of you are real holy, and I know you got your I's dotted and your T's crossed, but this pastor doesn't have it all together. But I'm thanking God because he chose to work grace in my, and that's what grace is. That's what grace is. Grace, where sin has abounded, where sin broke you, grace takes you even further. And I want to know, is there anybody that understands that grace? Because a lot of us should not be alive right now. I know you have a lot of things to complain about, but today I got news for you. Where sin left you, grace took you deeper. Piece by piece. Domestic violence in your house, peace. Things that should have left you destroyed, peace by peace. I know, anybody ever broke anything? When it shatters, it goes everywhere. That's the way some of you feel right now. You feel like your life is scattered everywhere. And God, because he loves you. See, if something breaks in our house, we throw it in the trash. But God is not throwing anything in the trash. He's picking you up piece. Failed marriages. A lonely home. Drug addictions. Smoking addictions, lost in the world, lust, pornography, fornication, adultery, all of this stuff that's surrounded your life, and yet he's putting it piece by piece so that you would have enough. Now, some of you are not shouting right now because you're looking at as Queen Esther, but when I talk about Queen Esther, I'm talking about me too, because I was a slave to sin. I was broke, busted, and disgusted. I was hurting at one point in my life. I came from obscurity to notoriety, and that was only by the King. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sure you'll connect the dots later on. You'll connect the dots. So the King chooses Queen Esther. He chooses Queen Esther, marries Queen Esther, and Queen Esther at this point in her life Everything is going good. Now imagine, now you got all the manicures. Come on, ladies. Now this is where you can sympathize, right? You don't have to worry about your weave going the wrong way. You got everything up to date. You got your nails done. You got your toes done. I mean, everything is real now. You got people tending to you hand and foot. I mean, everything is going good. You got the king's delicacies. And you think that that's all God has called you for. Because life is going good now. Just like many of us, we got saved and we got bought by the blood of Jesus and we've been redeemed and our life is not as freaky deaky as it used to be before. Now we're clean, now we're strong, now we're a lot better than who we used to be. Now God has positioned us to do great things and we're in good places, but you think that this is all about you. And this is why our subject and our title for the next several weeks is This is Bigger Than Me. And my subtopic today is Stand in the Gap. And I'll tell you why it's called Stand in the Gap. Because it's going to require a church that is willing to step in St. Augustine and stand in the gap for a generation that's lost and hurting and broken and has been caused so much damage. And yes, there are a lot of churches in this city, but there are not a lot of people standing in the gap. So here is, and she has a family member that comes to her, because all of a sudden there's going to be a mass genocide of all the Jewish people. Now, she's Jewish. Nobody's recognized her to be Jewish because she's groomed herself so well. She's fit into the system. She's part of the system. She doesn't necessarily, nobody knows that she's really Jewish, you know, but she's in the system. And now Mordecai comes to her and says, listen, we are about to die. They've made a decree to wipe all of us out. And that even includes you, if the truth be told. But you're in a position right now that you can make something happen and change the whole dynamics of everything. Are you with me so far? So here's Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And it says like this. This is what he tells her. He says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And this is the part that maybe a lot of you have heard when you hear preachings or sermons. This is the part I want you to focus on. Yet who knows whether you have come to St. Augustine for such a time as this. I need just in your neighborhood, in your hood, just shake three people and tell them, stand in the gap, stand in the gap. Yeah, stand in the gap. Can I talk about God's strategicness for a second? Because I absolutely love how God is so strategic. He has a way of positioning us into places, into groups, into areas with a major purpose. I want you to understand very clearly right now that you are here not because you decided, let me just come this Sunday morning. You have been strategically designated by the Holy Spirit to come here, whether you wanted to come here or not. You are here by ordained order. Now, the Bible tells me, and if you are a believer, then you're going to believe this scripture, that the steps of a good man, or let me not leave out the women, the steps of a good woman are ordered by who? By the Lord. So I understand that every place I tread on, everywhere I go, God has already preordained it. He's already seen it ahead of time. He's already masterminded the whole situation. In fact, the Bible says like this, that he's already seen the end from the beginning. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you understand what that means? That means God took a peek at the end first to work it out from the very beginning. No, okay. That'll hit you later on. That'll hit you later on. See, whenever they make motion movies, major motion movies, they normally start at the end because they always want that no matter what happens from the beginning, that at the end it's already been worked out. See, God is working out your story according to the end, and you may be looking at your moment right now saying, God, I'm freaking out right now, but I got news for you. God knows the end from the beginning because he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Let me not get too preachy now. Praise God. See, God is strategic. Even where you're sitting at today, God is strategic. It's funny because sometimes we, and don't get me wrong, I believe that we do have free will and God is not puppeteering us to make us do anything, but God has a way of directing us. Come on, somebody. Have you ever taken a certain drive and you always take that drive, but that day, for some reason, you chose to take this drive and there was a huge accident like there is almost every day on 95, but that day you chose to go this way and somehow you know, Had I been there at that particular time, at that particular place, that would have been me as well. So you can recognize with me, maybe for a slight little moment, that God has a bigger plan for you, and he's working out your every step. My God, thank you, Jesus. See, we may rebel at times, and we may do our own thing at moments, but God has a strategic way of putting you with certain people at certain places at certain times. You think that you chose your career because, hey, it's the thing that makes the most money. I have news for you. God already ordained you to have the career that you have at the place that you have it at so that he can position you to make a difference in this world. My God. Can I get happy for a moment? You are.
Thank you so much for allowing us to pour into your lives on every single basis. Once again, this is our last program, but we just want to say thank you to God for every opportunity and every soul that was touched along the way. All right, family, this is Pastor Anthony signing off for the very last time, or to until God says otherwise. Much love and respect.
This has been the Rebirth Experience with Pastor Anthony, pastor of Rebirth Church. Continue the experience Sunday mornings at 10:30 with Pastor Anthony, now meeting at St. Augustine High School at 3405 Varela Avenue. Call 904-325-9647, 325-9647 for more information. And visit rebirthchurch.tv, rebirthchurch.tv.